So I thought I would begin my lesson tonight with some photos of my dogs. So that maybe if you're a perfect Christian who doesn't really need any advice that I have to give tonight, at least you got to look at some cute puppies on this Wednesday. So this is Cavender. He's an extremely good boy. We actually don't really know how old he is, which is a funny story for another time if you want to ask me later. He always behaves, and he is definitely my dad's favorite, right after my sister Lucy. But he's not the brightest light bulb in the toolbox. So this is Caramel. She's a golden retriever, and she's absolutely naughty. She's incredibly smart, but her mischief makes her a chore sometimes. Dad is constantly annoyed by her shenanigans, but she is definitely Mom's favorite. And actually, Mom won't admit it, but she secretly really only likes bad dogs. And this is Caramel cuddling, and this is the face she makes when she's just overwhelmed by the scratches. So I took these photos yesterday, and my mom sent me this photo yesterday. Holy moly. This is my family in front of the Church of Christ in Verviers, Belgium. Approximately 4,500 miles away from here. My sister Lucy, my brother Caleb, my mom, and my dad. They've been there for about 3 weeks now, and they won't be back for another 2.5 months. I did not realize that I'd be looking at the PowerPoint also. A lot of you probably know my situation this semester, but most of you don't. My parents volunteered to be faculty chaperones for the study abroad group this semester, and they took Caleb and Lucy with them. Now, I went on the study abroad trip 2 semesters ago, so it wasn't practical for me to go again. And to make things easier for my family and me, I decided to volunteer to live at home this semester. This way I can take care of the dogs, and I can keep up with the house while they're gone. Plus, it's pretty nice to have my own bed, all the hot water I could ever want, and to be able to play my music as loud as possible. Actually, never mind about the music. They do that in Vincent anyway. So I've been living at my house by myself for a while, and I have a while to go. It's pretty nice, though. Every day, I have an entire refrigerator to myself. I have like 4 bathrooms and bedrooms to choose from. And if you need to borrow a Honda CR-V this semester, I have 2 extras. I've got an entire house to myself, and every night I come home to 2 dogs that think I am the greatest person to ever walk the face of the earth because I give them treats and rub their bellies. But every night, I lie down and go to sleep alone. Every morning, I wake up alone. And I don't mean like my roommate went home for the weekend alone, so I have the room to myself. I mean, alone in the woods. You can't even see your neighbor's house. Alone, where the only sound in the building is your watch ticking. Alone where you won't see your mom for another 85 days. Alone where, if you decided not to leave your room, there's a good chance that no one would really notice. Every day, I am alone. It has never been more difficult to come to church. It has never been more difficult to rejoice. It has never been more difficult to see God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be afraid, or do not be deceived, rather. Bad company corrupts good morals." But what I'm discovering this semester that the only thing that I need to lose sight of my God is no company at all. And it terrifies me. We sang a song that echoes Paul's words in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I don't know what songwriter decided it would be a good idea to set this verse to the most cheerful, bubbly tune the church has sung since the Great Redeemer. But this verse is downright harrowing, if you ask me. Cheerful music just doesn't belong with a verse about crucifixion. Crucifixion. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Most of the time, I really don't feel that way. Because I read this verse, I sing this stupid, cheerful song, and I'm shouting, if you are living in me, if you loved me, then why are you hiding from me? Why can't I see you? And even though I'm up here with a microphone and this jacket that my mom picked out for me, I'm not a teacher tonight. Tonight, I'm a confessor. I'm confessing to you, to the church, that I've lost my focus. I've lost my focus. And the reason I know that I've lost my focus is that at one point I had it. I felt God. Was full of the substance of what I hoped for and the evidence of things I couldn't see. But I've lost my focus. Because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? I was joking with Reed earlier. When he asked me what my topic was for tonight, I told him focus, which basically means I can talk about anything I want. And to a certain extent, it's true. Sometimes all we lack is focus. Feel that, especially in a place like this, if you maintain your focus, if you can hold fast to your faith, to your hope, and to your God, it will no longer be you who lives today, but Christ. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And tonight I know the truth, and I think you do too. And Paul knows that we know the truth, and Christ knows that we know the truth. And so he's not calling for us to take a standardized test on what's right or wrong. He's calling for us to focus. He's calling for us to die. I have been crucified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Wouldn't it be beautiful to be able to say that with a clear conscience? I know I can't. And even though mistakes will not defeat us, sin will not defeat us, God is calling us to a standard of perfection, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. God is calling us to focus on the truth, the light, the word. He calls us to sacrifice ourselves. And he gives to us a beautiful promise, a flower to grow up out of our own graves. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. 1 John 4:16 through 17. Galatians 2:20 is a verse of conviction that pushes the comfort zone of what we expect from our religion. I mean,
it's easy to ask people, have you been baptized? Or have you asked for forgiveness? Or have you accepted the free gift of God's grace? But tonight, Galatians 2:20 is staring me in the eye. The Word of God is asking me, have you been crucified? Have you been crucified? Have you died to yourself so that Christ might live in you? Later in the letter, Paul states that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, Galatians 5:24. And tonight, I'm not going to challenge you to accept the free gift of God. I'm not going to challenge you to tap into the unlimited bank account of God's forgiveness so that grace may abound. I'm not going to challenge you to accept the mercy that God gives us every time we mess up. No. Tonight, I'm going to challenge you to be crucified. I'm going to challenge myself to be crucified. Because the beauty of Galatians 2:20, the beauty of our God, is that He deserves it. He deserves our full life. He deserves our complete sacrifice. But even beyond that, even beyond our God's majesty, beyond our God's worthiness, is a man. A man despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A lamb led to the slaughter and a sheep silent before its shearer. Isaiah 53. The beauty of our God is that He crucified Himself. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I really don't understand what was going through the composer's head when he wrote the music to go with this verse. The song we sang is not about freedom to live our lives. The song is not about God buying our right to enjoy ourselves and then go to heaven someday. This song is not about happiness. This song is about crucifixion. Are you crucified? I don't hear it enough. We get challenged with these easy things to make us feel good about our faith. We get challenged with things that are not really challenges. We see the gifts of God laid out before us and it makes us feel good. But how often do you read the Bible? How often do you hear the Word of God look at you and say, are you crucified? Because that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to go beyond ourselves, to give ourselves. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. The image that always comes into my head is a group of soldiers on a battlefield and a grenade gets thrown into the midst of them and one of them falls on the grenade and saves his companions. But then I realize that the verse is so much bigger than that. Because laying down your life for your friends doesn't mean laying down your death for your friends. It means living for them. Laying down your life for your God means living for your God. It means crucifying yourself. And every day, we've got to wake up ready to crucify ourselves. Have you crucified yourself? Tonight, I don't know where you are on your journey. The 5:45 service feels like talking to the choir. I'm sure that many of you are almost certainly stronger in a lot of areas than I am. But I hope that this can be valuable to each one of us. Tonight, maybe you're curious, and that's about as far as it goes. Maybe you don't really know much about God. Maybe you think you might want to know some. Maybe you're mature. Maybe you've known God for a while, but you feel like maybe you've grown a little bit stale, a little bit old, a little bit tired. Tonight, whatever your case is, this challenge stands for you, just as this challenge stands for every one of us in everything we face. God calls us to sacrifice ourselves for Him so that He can live through us. Tonight, if there's anything that's keeping you from doing that, please come forward as we stand and sing.